You're listening to Take That Radio. Internet radio that doesn't suck. Coming up next on the Take That Radio Network.
On this episode of Right This Way, Jimmy Bice from The Delivery, Wendy Sullivan and Kimberly Haney from Brass Balls Radio, and me, Andrew Lawton, joined together for a special bullying edition of Right This Way. It's an hour not like our usual shows, but you don't want to miss it.
Don't touch that dial. You're locked on Take That Radio. Welcome to Right This Way, the weekly wrap-up show starring the hosts of Take That Radio. It's fun. It's enlightening. Looking for a common-sense point of view in this topsy-turvy world we live in? You found it, and the fun begins Right This Way.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of Right This Way from Strictly Right Radio. I'm Andrew Lawton, and we have a very good group tonight from Brass Balls Radio. We have Wendy Sullivan and Kimberly Haney, and from The Delivery, Jimmy Bice. How are you, everyone?
Thanks for inviting us, actually. The premise for tonight was an excellent idea, Andrew, so, you know, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen our incessant tweets and my self-promotion and promotion for the show, we're doing a bit of a different episode than usual. Instead of talking about all of the political stuff that we usually do, I wanted to talk about bullying specifically, but more broadly, just the issues of surrounding it, the issues of what's going on in the news. We have the It Gets Better campaign, and I know Wendy and I have both kind of had some conversations about that campaign, but also just in general, that conservatives have hearts too. And I think that's as amusing as it sounds, a point that a lot of people lose sight of. And I know that when I tweeted out a few days ago, might have even been last week, that we were considering doing this show, flooded with tweets and emails and lots of people talking about the fact that they think there needs to be something like this. And it seems like everyone has a story. So I'm glad that even in our group here at Take That Media, we have our own stories to tell. And Kimberly, when I first emailed out this idea, I think you were one of the first people to respond, and you said something like, "Oh, I have a good one." But before you get to that, I wanted to ask you just in general about this It Gets Better campaign, because generally speaking, it seems like, my take at least, is that in the media right now, there's a glorification of victims of gay bullying and almost a complete absence of stories and, in many cases, sympathy for non-gay bullying. And it's almost as if it doesn't exist right now. And I'm wondering if I'm just being overly sensitive to this, or if that's been your take as well.
It kind of has, you know, it seems like the focus right now is just, it's like a laser beam on the gay community and, you know, certain shows that I watch, you know, like, that I've caught recently. One of them was a show that, Andy Cohen does on Bravo, and he was, you know, talking about it. And I guess because he's part of the gay community as well. And, they're talking about, the focus is mostly on high school kids, right? This is what I'm seeing, is that they're trying to focus this on the high school kids that are committing suicide. Well, I actually have a couple of stories that, you know, because I do have kids, and you know, especially my son experienced this. Not that he was bullied, he was in one instance, but you know, I'll tell you that story as we get involved and get a little further down the road. But other instances where kids have killed themselves for being overweight, or, you know, there's other reasons. Why single out, you know, the gay lifestyle? Why so much attention on that and not, you know, making it a focus of just bullying in general?
For sure. And I don't know, Wendy, has this been your kind of take on this movement as well?
Believe it or not, I was a bullied kid, and they do say that the bullied become the bully at some point, and I think that's pretty clear what happened. But
no comment.
No comment. Yeah, I know. Say what you will. But Yes, I think that part of it could be the overt sexualization of children that we hadn't had in previous generations. Mm-hmm. Like, there is more emphasis now on a child's sexuality than there used to be, which makes me nervous on a whole host of reasons. But one of them is the fact that kids are coming out at ever younger ages. Even the dogs are concerned about this issue. And so I'm sorry, guys. I always have an in-studio audience for me. But they bully me. They own me. I am their bitch. But that said, there is an issue with the fact that kids are overtly sexualized at ever younger ages, which means those that are different, hence the gay community, will be targeted in a way that when you and I were in the schoolyard, you know, X amount of years ago, we wouldn't have considered. We might have joked or teased or something, but those kids probably weren't gay, or if they were, they didn't know it yet. And now there's this focus on dragging these poor kids kicking and screaming out of the closet. And I tend to wonder if it's not a matter of the gay lobby, which does exist. We're not going to pretend it doesn't. The gay lobby is not so much recruiting as trying to say, look, it's everybody. You know, so these kids are not just being marginalized by their peers. They are in turn being marginalized by those who are trying to help them, like, you know, Michelle Obama and that fat ass McCain chick and the others coming out and saying, you know, it gets better. It's okay to be gay. Leave them alone. Let them come to it on their own. Don't be.
Jimmy, does the motivation actually matter, do you think, or is bullying bullying no matter what the reason is?
I, you know, when we talked about this, Andrew, I wasn't really sure what I can add to this. Look, I was a bullied kid too. I don't talk about it because, to be honest with you, it didn't matter much. I didn't grow up horribly traumatized by it, even though I hated it and for more than a couple years dreaded going to school because of it. On the other hand, it doesn't matter what the cause is. What it comes down to for me is that kids, there will, as long as stronger people can exert their will directly over weaker people by force and intimidation, there will always be bullying, and schools are a great place for that to happen because kids are just starting to learn the social dynamic. And one of the things you learn first about any social dynamic are the brute force applications. You learn the simple stuff before you learn the sophisticated stuff. And the simple bullying is a simple behavior. Bullying is the application of force and strength. And that's really what it comes down to. And it doesn't matter what the reason is. It doesn't matter if you're bullying someone because they're gay, because they wear glasses, because they dress funny. Any application of force over another person is, well, you know something, if that's something you're inclined to do, you're going to do it. No matter what, right. You'll find some reason.
Well, exactly. And I think that's a really good point, Jimmy, is that I think that people decide they want to bully someone, then look for a reason. I don't think it's the other way around. I mean, when I was in elementary school, when it started, I was – the first time I was ever bullied was when I was 9 years old. I was in grade 4. I was at a new school, and everyone was at a new school. This particular school started in grade 4, and I remember the day extremely vividly, and I've had to relive it just a lot of the time just because I ended up going to high school and even university with some of the same people. But it was – a complete mob mentality almost. There was no violence at the time, but here I was on my lunch break, I was minding my own business, and that's the problem because I was alone at the time and everyone else was in a group. And then there's that whole bystander effect where you have one person that instantly decides, hey, I'm going to pick on that little fat kid sitting over there. And everyone else says, well, great, he's not looking at me, so let's join in with him and we'll be safe. And it's an extraordinarily simple behavior, but the problem is that it immediately puts everyone involved into a group. It makes the bully a bully. It makes the watchers bystanders, and it makes the victim a victim. And remember, and people fail to realize this, but every act of bullying, if you break it down to an individual level, is not random. if you're bullied once, that's who you are for the majority of the time that you're in that group of people. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't consider, is that unless you break that cycle, you're stuck with that. Because for me, I experienced starting from when I was 9 until I graduated high school. So about 8 years straight, nonstop bullying. And it was different people, because you just get into that mindset and it really affects your self-esteem to the point where
you're pigeonholed.
You feel you deserve it. Yeah, and you feel you deserve it. You don't fight it because it's just what you know.
Stockholm syndrome, right? You just accept mm-hmm. that they're bullying you for whatever reason. And that's a long-term thing. Like you say, it started when you were 9. It ended when you were – how old were you when you graduated? 17? 16? Yeah. So yep. there yeah. you go. For me, it was a little bit different. I was bullied. I was bullied for the very same reason that I'm sitting here tonight with all of you. I spoke differently, and I knew things that other kids didn't know. I watched the news, I read the paper, and I didn't speak like a child. And all those reasons are the reason that I'm sitting here tonight doing Brass Balls Radio and Right This Way, because that's what I became. I chose not to turn away from what I was, but I got bullied for it. And I think that when you come back to the different programs that are going on now, specifically, you know, we talked earlier about the gay bullying, mm-hmm. don't turn away from what you are just because somebody's picking on you. That in the end of the at the end of the day, that's the bottom line right there. Don't turn away from who you are just because somebody else is uncomfortable with it. What you have to learn to do, and, you know, I'm sure somebody by now is probably teaching a course on it, but is to mitigate the outcome, to mitigate the effects. In my case, I didn't turn away from speaking better than my peers or reading better than my peers or being smarter than my peers, but I learned not to show it off so much.
It's funny because one of the things that I always noticed, at least with myself, is that I thought I was unlucky because, you know, I couldn't go to school without getting bullied or getting picked on. But a lot of people that I've spoken to now weren't even able to be at home without getting that. They weren't even able to be at home without being picked on.
So they were picked on, or, you know, and sometimes I think there's kind of a division in what children experience in the school as being teased. And when does it escalate to that level of bullying? When does it become just, you know, pure brutality? I think there's a fine line. You know, my son, who is a strawberry blonde, freckle-faced, tall, gangly kid, he was, you know, called Opie. You know, and kids teased him, but he had such a pleasant personality and was, you know, really never bullied until a situation that happened in middle school, where he was playing basketball on a court, and this kid that, you know, was truly a bully. He would pick on younger kids and brutalize them and push them around and get physical with them. And he ended up killing a young boy at age 13 at a bus stop, hit him in the back of the head with brass knuckles and killed him. And this was the same kid who hit my son in the back of the head with a basketball on the court. And I'd always told my son, I said, you don't ever start it, but you can finish it.
I think that's
ever started.
That's been taken away from children, though. And I mean, each of you can speak to the different areas that you live in. I don't know what goes on in Maryland. I don't know what goes on in Georgia. I can speak to what happens here in Canada. You're not allowed to even fight back, because you will be just as prosecuted as the other kid, whether that prosecution is a suspension or detention mm-hmm. or whatever. You can't fight back.
Well, Matthew, he was punished exactly the same, but I allowed it, and I didn't ground my kid for it, because once I knew the story, if they had paid attention to what that boy was doing on the gymnasium floor,
they might have prevented another
Josh Belliardo would be probably be alive today, instead of, you know, his parents grieving the loss of his death a year and a half later.
Well, do any of you guys remember that story from Australia a couple of months ago, that 13-year-old kid, Casey Hines?
Give us some details. No.
This story was amazing. It was this 13-year-old kid, probably at that age, he's, I don't know, probably about, I might even have his age wrong, but he was probably around 120 pounds. I mean, this is a big kid. And he was bullied every day for however many years. And one day, this little tiny little pipsqueak came up and started harassing him and then started poking him and hitting him. And then what this guy did is he turns around, he picks the little kid up, slams him to the ground head first.
Yeah, I remember this.
And then the little kid gets up, hobbles away crying. And this,
suddenly he's not bullied anymore.
No, he's not bullied anymore. But even more importantly is I don't think he was punished by the school, but actually the bully's parents actually came to Casey's, the victim's defense, in interviews. I mean, and in general, I mean, parents had some legitimate concerns about the process, but they actually gave their son kind of the punishment he deserved based on accounts that I read.
As I remember that story, it first broke because it was videotaped and the video went viral on YouTube.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Because he basically picked the kid up and body slammed him, and the kid's ankle, like the guy that was getting bullied, basically stood there and he took it, and the little kid went up to hit. He had hit him a couple times, went to hit him again, and the big kid just kind of grabbed him, picked him up, and body slammed him, and
head first to the ground.
He may have hurt the kid's ankle because you could see that there was like a little low, like a little cinder block wall, like around a flower bed or something.
Yeah.
And the kid's ankle whacked it. But as the story went on, not only was the big kid not punished from it, but the little kid who was doing the bullying, his parents took him to the big kid
and made him apologize.
Forced him to apologize to the big kid for bullying him.
And if that wasn't enough, they later had to put him on national TV in Australia and apologize too.
You know,
you guys
actually brought up a couple interesting points. If you don't mind me tossing a couple things out here real quick.
Absolutely.
We won't bully
you, Jimmy, I promise.
Hey, Kimberly, talking about your son, who people would tease and kind of bully and call him Opie. It's interesting because when it comes to bullying, and one of the problems with anti-bullying laws is that they're zero tolerance, but they're not targeting the right thing. And they can't. Mm. And they can't because the real thing is intent. I didn't have a lot of friends when I was young. But among our circle of friends, we would very frequently tease each other and call each other in many ways the same names that the people who might bully us called us.
We do it now as grown-ups too.
And it's and it's completely different because intent entirely matters. I'll give you my brief resume. You know, if anybody's, why is Jimmy talking about bullying? I was the smart kid. When I was in first grade, the school skipped me ahead to second grade.
Same here, sweetie.
Same here.
So I was.
Look at us.
So I'm the dumb one on the call now, apparently.
We won't pick on you, I promise.
The older generation, Andrew.
Well, we didn't want to mention it, Andrew, but yeah.
Bully.
You brought it up, man. I'm just saying. For you know, shame. It's not bullying if you punch yourself and we laugh. Okay. That's not bullying. That's just good YouTube viral videoing. So what happened is they introduced me as classes. This is Jimmy. He used to be in first grade. Now he's in second grade. He's the smart kid.
Oh God. They were desperate to get your butt kicked, weren't they?
Yeah. And you know, it frequently happened, but one of the other things that happens and you know, the other thing that happens is, when a lot of grownups tell you you're smart, you tend to develop a certain small amount of arrogance, and it didn't help that I did not and still don't exactly have finely tuned social skills. I met you in public
and you are not.
Did you know how much work that took? Believe me, the Jimmy you see today was not the ridiculously socially awkward nerd boy that existed in high school. And in some cases, I was a jerk, and this is maybe bad to bring up in a bullying show. In some cases, I earned some of the treatment that people would treat me like a jerk, because sometimes I was. But on the other hand, what I worry about with these anti-bullying laws is how they may well, encourage legal bullying. For example, let's say you have an anti-gay bullying law and someone expresses their disagreement for whatever reason. They don't believe homosexuality is right for some reason. And then people, taking kind of the popular line, turn against that person, ostracize that person, call that person names for their beliefs. Well, are they guilty of bullying? Well, yeah, by our technical definitions, they are. But they're doing it because the law lets them. In fact, many ways, kind of encourages the mob to turn away from them. Now, I'm not saying 100% that's going to happen, but it's the way that these well-intentioned laws work out. I think the real issue is, and those of us who are bullied would I think deal with this. Teachers need to deal with this. Teachers can't deal with bullying well and have never been able to because they've never really had the power to do it. But individual teachers need to be empowered to deal with the situation, and not in really ham-handed ways because they can make it worse, but in ways that actually turn the power of bullying on the bully. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would actually sit in class while the one bully on either side, it was really Ralph, what was his name? Ralph Farkas from A Christmas Story.
Yes.
You know how he had his little mini-me sidekick?
Yes.
I had those two guys all through elementary and junior high school. And one would sit on one side of me, one would sit on the other, and they would bully verbally, they would physically bully me. They would hit me, they would flick me, they would knock my glasses off. And I would die for a teacher to show up and do something equally as humiliating to those kids as they were doing to me. And that's something that I don't think these laws will allow that. But to my thinking, that's where the authority figures can really look. You snatch a bully up and you embarrass a bully. Bullying over.
Right. But then the bully goes home and says he was abused by a teacher. Not sexually, obviously, but, you know, humiliated, sure. Abused by a bully doesn't know any better because he's a kid, whereas the adult is supposed to know better, right? So they're not supposed to get involved in that sort of thing.
And truthfully, parents have a tendency to try and get involved, and that never works out. And this is where, because I actually, when this all happened, I talked to my parents about it. I talked to the teacher about it, and I did everything that you're supposed to do, and none of it worked. I mean, of all, I can't even remember, but, you know, here are the basic advice that people have given, and feel free to chime in, guys. One is make a joke of it. Two, ignore them. Three,
strength in numbers.
Yeah, fight back, strength in numbers. Tell a teacher. None of those work. The only thing I didn't try was punching the guys in the faces.
And it works.
Matthew, my son, case in point,
it worked.
And
that kid never bothered him again.
I have so few actual regrets from growing up. Like, yeah, there's things that I think maybe I should have done. But from growing up, I have so few regrets. The major one that I have, though, is not actually using violence. And it's funny because when I've talked to my parents about this, and they were like, well, we don't want to tell you to, you know, fight someone. My pastor from church even said, like, when I was chatting with him about something completely unrelated, the topic of bullying came up. This would have been a couple of years ago. He's like, oh, you should just punch him in the face. I'm like, exactly. That's what you need to do. And if I...
That's what the Bible says.
I don't know. But if I ever have kids, that'll be what I tell them to do. That if I have a son and he's getting bullied, I'll say, no. And if this is happening, you punch him, you kick him in the nuts, you do whatever you need to. But none of the... fight back, ignore it, make a joke of it, pretend it doesn't bother you. None of that stuff does a damn thing.
Can I give one piece of advice, though?
Brass knuckles?
No.
No!
No.
It's not enough to tell your kid punch the bully in the face. Because I knew that advice when I was younger, too. Here's one of the things that's essential. if you're going to teach your kid to fight back, then you actually need to teach your kid how to fight.
Yes.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
I knew
my
how
dad
to
ended up doing.
Yeah, that's something you're going to, and it's something, oh, we can't teach our kids how to fight. Wrong. You better teach your kids how to fight. It's something they're going to need to use. I would have punched a bully in the face. My problem was that if I didn't put the bully down with one punch, I didn't have a great idea for what to do after that.
you didn't have a follow through there.
No, I had just one. Throw a punch. Step two, question marks. Step three, profit.
Yes, I really
the underpants gnome of beating a bully, you got to teach your kid how to fight. Because
that's
I'd have been willing to throw that punch, but I wasn't real sure. And I'm not really blaming my parents, but because my parents were not big advocates of fighting anyway. They simply weren't. And I dig that. I'm good with that. But if you're going to teach your kids to throw the punch to knock the bully down, you better teach them what to do if that punch doesn't knock the bully down.
That's a very good point. And I didn't think about that because, you know, when Matt was five, as soon as kindergarten, I mean, that was like the natural move was to put them into a martial arts class just to teach them discipline and respect and, you know, how to defend themselves. I mean, it was just something that we did. Maybe it's a Southern thing. I don't know. But both my boys did that.
All right, everyone, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Right This Way right after this.
High school sucks. Whether you're fat, skinny, gay, straight, rich, or poor, everyone has problems. But guess what? You're still going to have problems when high school is over. It gets better. Know why? Because you'll be able to pick the people you associate with. You just have to survive those 5 crappy years. Here's how. Be nice. Don't pick fights. Be brave. Don't let others pick them with you. Don't wear your sexuality like a badge. Just like in real life, it's nobody's goddamn business. Treasure that one other reject who hangs out with you. 20 years from now, they'll be at your wedding. Don't assume your parents know or don't know the answers. Some of their advice might actually be useful. Don't kill anyone. Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris are hated way more today than when they were just social outcasts. Try not to kill yourself. Some of us are predisposed to this, myself included, but be aware that it's contagious and try to fight it. Take the offered help. And seriously, it's only 5 years.
Right This Way, where our Canadians are actually from Colorado. Really, just ask them.
Welcome back to Right This Way, the special bullying edition. With me are Jimmy Bice from The Delivery, Kimberly Haney and Wendy Sullivan from Brass Balls Radio, and I'm Andrew Lawton from Strictly Right Radio. Thanks for sticking with us. We got a couple of emails that I was actually wanting to read on air. I thought of, if we're going to talk about our stories, some people who listen to the show might have their own stories. And I wanted to open with this one that I received from Deborah in Florida. I'm a bit of an outlier and always have been. I never fit into any real group in middle school or high school. During gym class one day in junior high, the whole class made a big circle around me and another girl who, to my recollection, was about twice my size. She told me she was going to beat me up. I curled up into a ball on the ground while she kicked me and the rest of the class just watched. She was doing this on behalf of her friend who was the ringleader of their little girl gang. We later both got in school suspension for fighting. I asked her friend later why she disliked me so much. She told me that the first day we met, I had asked to use her skateboard, and when she said yes, I put my foot on it, causing her to trip and embarrassing her. I had zero recollection of the incident, but she held it against me so much that she decided to target me from then on. She and her friends also tried to pants me during another PE. Fortunately, she didn't end up going to my high school, but I had my share of friends there too. You know, the guys who would follow around calling me ugly or dog or barking. I think bullying rules and laws are stupid. I knew what these people were. They had low self-esteem and they felt the need to pick on other people. If they had ever used physical violence, Like that first time, I knew not to fight back, and I knew they would get in trouble. Thank you for sending that, Deborah. It's interesting because I think that you always should fight back. And I think this is where a lot of people will get into some disagreement. I know parents, kids, bullying victims, they'll all have different takes on it. But there was one actual story that I saw in Slate or Salon a few weeks ago, which I found really interesting. What they did is they encouraged everyone who read that site to look up a former bully of theirs if they had been bullied in school and actually interview them and write a piece about it. And if you go to – I think it was Salon.
I think it was too. I remember reading that.
Yeah, some of the stories that people had were so interesting. I mean, you have people that are now in their 40s that are interviewing people that bullied them 30 years prior. And the reflections and apologies from a lot of bullies were quite moving in a lot of cases.
Well, that's hindsight, right? That's retrospect. But as it's happening, I feel for the girl that curled up in the fetal position because too many times I did that. Again, in retrospect, I should have hauled off and hit them. Just like you said earlier, Andrew, you should have just hauled off and hit them because for too long, we just get accustomed to going, okay, it'll be over soon. Lie back and think of England. You know, so retrospect is lovely. We can say, yes, let's go back and talk to our bullies and everything's going to be fine. But what have they done to you for the last 20 years? Because they stay with you. Long after they're gone and they've forgotten you, you still have them with you. They still sit on your shoulder.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and this is where we get into, I think, the bigger question here. And I think, Jimmy, I mentioned it to you in an email a few days ago. And this is a question for all of you. Do you think that you are a better person today because of what you went through?
Oh, boy.
Not even better, but a stronger person today? Or do you think it was just a really unfortunate blemish in your life?
Ooh, perfect for you, Wendy.
I think I'm a worse person for what I went through. I really do, because it taught me to become that. And I've seen it time and time again. You know, if I mistreat somebody, they go on and they mistreat somebody else. And it's a cycle. Therefore, I'm a worse person for what I went through. And I perpetuate that cycle of bullying. And that means that I'm in turn hurting somebody else who will in turn hurt someone then. You know, it doesn't stop. It's a poison. I don't think I'm stronger for it. I think I'm different for it. But in terms of my overall karmic score, definitely on the losing end on that one.
See, I wouldn't say like you did that I'm worse off because of it. But I can say with to be completely candid, that I'm still dealing with it. That it doesn't go away. You can't just say once the bullying stops, the residual effects are still there. And I'm still like, look, I'm still young. I'm still in my 20s. I don't know if it just goes away with time, or I don't know if it does stay with me for the rest of my life. But I know that there are still aspects of it that I haven't reconciled with. There's still a lot of things that people have said that even if you outgrow them, you'll always still feel that little way. And Frey, listeners of this show and people who read, you know, Landmark Report will know that in about a month, we'll be coming up on the 1 year anniversary of me trying to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. can say there are reasons for that particular incident that were unrelated to things that happened when I was younger. But I think that everything's connected. I think that a lot of who you are as a person, a lot of the demons that you do struggle with when you're older are rooted in things that have happened from not even from your childhood, not like a mommy didn't love me way, but I think they're rooted to your developmental years, to your social development going through school. And for me, I still deal with that to this day.
You know, on the break, I was talking about the movie that I watched so often when I was the disenfranchised kid, which was Heathers with Christian Slater and Winona Ryder. And one of the throwaway lines from Shannon Doherty about the fat girl was, come on, she was dialing suicide hotline in her diapers. That was me. You know, that was me. I went through suicide attempts in high school and they followed me the rest of my life. Now, Kimberly and I talked about this in last week's Brass Balls Radio when we were talking about teen suicide and whatever. And the fact of the matter is, some of us are predisposed to it, some of us are not. But at the end, when we make that choice to take the pills or to put the gun in our mouths or whatever, the bully isn't holding the gun. It's us. We make that personal choice to do it. And Andrew, I think you can speak to that as well. Whatever was going on in your life, nobody force-fed you those pills. Nobody force-fed me the pills. That was a personal decision you made on your own to say, this is the choice that I'm going to make to deal with this issue. And it's in some ways, it's no different than choosing to throw the punch or choosing to run away or whatever. It's simply one of the choices presented to a certain number of people that have that chemical predisposition.
I don't know if you're simplifying it, and I think you're right. I still don't like putting it in such a way that it's just a choice. I mean, it is a choice, but it's not one of a number of options, because I think when you're at the point, and I've read lots of literature on this, when you're at the point that you are feeling suicidal, or you're feeling that it's an option,
those other options feel like they've been taken away
from you. Yeah, it's like you've already exhausted other options. It's not a choice anymore. It is a choice, but you feel like your choice is death or misery. And this is the problem that people have in that mindset. And I think more people need to be aware of this. And this is what happens when you're bullied, especially as a teenager, when you're already not as able to look at rational cause and effect scenarios. You think that your two options are
death or misery, or
I live my life unhappily. You don't feel or realize that there is another option there, that there is you power through and become happy. You seek alternative means to get happiness. Your two options are a life of misery or death. And this is why it's so difficult, because teenagers especially, and this is why it doesn't matter whether they're gay teens, whether they're straight teens, but teens that are bullied to the point where they can't take it anymore, to them, it's not a choice.
Nope.
And that brings us to something else. There's some kids that feel they have a third option. And Kim, I know you can speak to this for sure, but the kids that get bullied to such a further extent, and we've seen it time and time again on the news, how many times have they broken in the middle of the day shooting at a high school?
Exactly.
You know, schools in lockdown. The most famous case, of course, is Columbine, but there have certainly been others. Kids can't take it anymore, you know. And say what you will about Dylan and Eric, they were assholes. They really were. There's no question about that. But they were also treated very, very poorly, and some kids will snap.
Well, or they combine together and they collaborate on, you know, getting back, you know, getting even.
We've all had the fantasy. Who hasn't had the fantasy of getting even with their bully or with the whole school or with everybody that doesn't, you know, that isn't looking out for them, that doesn't care?
I have.
Yeah. Jimmy? We've all like fantasized.
Yeah, I'm probably like one step away from full on Bond villain at some point.
Yeah, well, I still have that fantasy though. I mean, that's just a part of living.
Well, I'll tell you this. In all seriousness, I thought about this while you're talking about this, and I kind of came to a realization that probably the reason that I didn't go that far is because I had a very, very rich imagination, and I retreated into that very often. I got very, very good at spending time with myself and by myself, and got very used to being by myself. A lot. I read books. I would draw. I would come up with all these great little, you know, these, I, I would kind of retreat into my own little fantasy world. I mean, and I know it sounds horribly nerdy, and it is. but I mean, J.R.R. Tolkien and Lord of the Rings, the early Terry Brooks Shannara series, stories like that were things that I could kind of keep in my mind, and I could retreat back into that stuff. I could retreat back into my own thoughts, and I was fortunate that I had enough in my own thoughts to give me something else to do. I think in some instances, a lot of those kids who snap, when they retreat back into their own thoughts, they don't have a lot there to fall back on.
Or maybe they too don't, much.
They don't necessarily have a... I mean, look, I had plenty of potential violence and stuff to retreat back into, for goodness sake. On the other hand, there were... I could kind of fall back in that. And whereas it made me, in a lot of ways, really pathetic. I'm there with you. I'm okay with that. On the other hand, it made me not shooty. And there were, I could safely say that there were points in my life when it would not have bothered me one bit to go on my own little revenge spree. It wouldn't have bothered me.
Well, you know, when I was talking on the break, you know, we were kind of laughing and joking a little bit about the school where my kids went to school. You know, the body count, Kimberly. But there was an article in Esquire magazine that was actually very well done. And it tells the story about what happened, you know, prior to the Jonathan Miller situation with where it was connected to my son. And then he ended up actually murdering a young boy. But it kind of goes back to what Jimmy's talking about and those feelings. And in the story, he was talking about, you know, this boy, young boy, Brian Head, who was 15. And in the fall of 1993, I'm just going to read this real quickly. In the fall of 1993, when Brian came home from school bloodied, his father accepted a teacher's explanation that Brian was a boy and boys got into fights. Oh, and he did not suspect that Brian had gotten bloodied because Brian was considered prey at Etowah High School. And of course, Bill did not suspect, that was Bill being his father, that one morning Brian would secret his father's gun in his book bag and take it to economics class. How could he suspect something like that? Brian was not a terrible boy. He was intent on taking a stand against the terrible boys. He was in class when one of the terrible boys, a well-known bully in Bill Head's words, slapped a kid in the face. Brian came to the kid's defense, as perhaps he had hoped someone would one day come to his. Hey, pick on someone your own size, is what Bill Head says his son said to the terrible boy. The terrible boy complied and slapped Brian. Brian responded by taking the gun out of his book bag. As his classmates scattered and fled, Brian pointed the gun at the terrible boy and pulled the trigger. Oof. The gun did not go off. No bullet was chambered. Brian pointed the gun at his head. I'm sick of this, he said, and once again pulled the trigger. This time a bullet was chambered. This time the gun went off, and Brian Head, 15 years old, fell to the floor dying. That happened. That happened in my child's school.
I brought something up on Twitter the other night and was resoundingly spanked for it. I tweeted an article from the United Kingdom. It was called My Child, the Murderer. And it was they talked to three different families whose kids had committed murder. And the first story was of a kid that was really badly bullied and did one of those Harris and Klebold things where he goes into the school and he starts killing people. And the tweet I sent out is, when gay kids get bullied, they kill themselves. When other kids get bullied, they kill lots of people. Do we really want to ignore that problem? You know, and that brings us back to the start of the show where Andrew was saying, is this bullying campaign, this anti-bullying campaign, embracing gay kids to the exclusion of all other bullied kids?
The answer is yes.
It absolutely I think it is. And again, for those other kids that aren't gay and that are getting bullied, they just end up feeling that much more ignored and marginalized. And I'm not saying that every bullied kid is going to walk into school with a gun. But
the moral
of
the story is you can't segregate them out like this.
You
can't. Bullying is one thing. It's not, okay, it's bad if you're bullying a gay kid, but not bad if you're just bullying a kid for being slow or
being fat,
quiet
or being
or small.
In the special reading class or yeah. having well, poor parents or whatever.
The day that I sent out the email to you guys and thought about, you know, this show and floated the idea was the day that I think Wendy, myself, and actually the actor Adam Baldwin, all of us on Twitter were talking about this issue. And when I mentioned that, and I can't even remember the first tweet that I wrote, but it was something along the lines of 140 character version of what we just said, that bullying is bullying. Why are gay kids being held as martyrs when the yeah. reason shouldn't matter when we're addressing bullying? And people were jumping on me saying, oh, well, you yeah. know, this is an epidemic. No. It's not an epidemic. The only thing that's different now from in previous years is that the kids, it's like what you were saying, Wendy, is that we know their sexuality when they died. When bullying victims have died, they never get news coverage historically. They just wait until there's enough of them. Then they make a 60-minute special about the whole group of them. That's actually been the reality. I mean, in the time that I've been alive, I've probably seen dozens and dozens of bullying specials, like 60-minute documentaries. They'll address a group of kids who killed themselves. None of them were gay, and I don't think that aspect of it matters.
If Michelle Obama and the McCain family really want to look at an actual epidemic, and believe me, all of you and our listeners know that this is not a horn I regularly tout. Trust me. Look up north, okay? You want to see kids that kill themselves all in a row, day after day after day? Look at the native kids.
Yes.
Where are the videos for the native kids?
Oh,
where is Meghan McCain for the native kids?
Mm.
You know,
or
because
Lady
these
Gaga.
Kids... Yeah, where is Lady Gaga and her little foundation that she's opening up? Okay? These kids are not gay for the most part. Some of them probably are. But for the most part, they're going to be straight kids with no other alternative. And we have it in every school. First high school I went to, I was one of the only white children.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting my ass kicked regularly until I mm-hmm. went to the WASP school down the road, you know?
Yep.
And once I went there, I became such a monster based on what I had seen and lived through. I wouldn't wish it on any kid. And now I'm not going to look at kids and say, why can't we all just get along? It's not how kids work.
But you know, yeah. the answer, and I'm with you, Wendy, no law that you can pass will stop bullying. I'll give you an hypothetical. All right. Take a kid who skipped ahead of grade. So he's a year younger than everyone in his class, which means, by the way, that when it comes to phys ed classes and stuff like that, he's pretty much going to be dead last in the athletics department for the most part, because developmentally he's a year behind. And whereas it doesn't matter when you're in high school, it matters a lot when you're in fourth grade. This kid is also probably the smartest kid in the class. For a couple years, easily the smartest kid in the class. Second, this kid also takes speech therapy classes.
Right.
So he has to actually go out specially once a week. He has to leave his class specially once a week and spend a whole period in a speech therapy class. In addition, this kid is constantly being called to the guidance counselor's office to take aptitude tests. Why? Because he's so freaking smart, his school is still trying to figure out what in the world they can do with him. Because not only have they skipped him a grade to put him ahead, thinking that will give him an extra challenge, he is acing his new grade too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. take that kid and craft an anti-bullying law that will assure you that that kid will not get bullied.
Not possible.
Impossible.
Homeschooling Utterly. Is the only way that kid's not going to get bullied.
And then right. he'll get bullied by his peers for being homeschooled.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing.
This is the big suspense. Of course, everybody. That was me.
Yeah.
That was me. That was me as a kid in school. Oh, by the way, point to the fact that he's a rigorous church-going kid, and his dad is the only wager there for the family. So quite frequently, he's wearing Sears tough skins and hand-me-downs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he started wearing glasses in fifth grade or sixth grade too. So yeah, let's throw all those in the mix. You know something? There wasn't a single law in the world not a single law at all that would keep me from getting bullied.
Assault is already a crime.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it doesn't. You don't even need to be that specific. I mean, why is there no crime for bullying someone for being fat? There is for bullying someone who's gay or bullying someone who's a minority. Why not someone who's fat? Why not someone who has brown eyes? Why not someone who has contact lenses, who has fillings? I mean, you can't make a law for anyone. And I mean, your example is exactly why this doesn't work, is because everyone's different.
I'm convinced that there's only one answer. I think there's only one answer. And if you want to do an anti-bullying outreach program, which, by the way, I think is a good idea, you don't do it with teachers in schools. You do it with parents with school-age kids. And you teach the parents, or you encourage the parents to do two things. Thing number one, learn how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you are bullied, and not if, when you are bullied, you'll know how to fight back against the bully. But number two, to teach the kids, even more fundamental than don't bully somebody, the more important thing to teach them is stand up for the kid who is getting bullied.
Am I the only parent on this show?
I think so.
Am I? Okay. Yes. That is a very good point, Jimmy. One of the things that I did early on with my kid, with Matt especially, because he was my first, I became a den leader in the Boy Scouts. And not just any den leader, I specifically requested special needs. And that's a kid with physical or mental learning disabilities. And I had a mix, 50-50. I had six boys, three of them were either mentally or physically handicapped, and the other three were just your normal American red-blooded boys. And those kids, one of whom has since passed, but those six boys all the way through school were tight as ticks. And they, Matt, to this day, and Tiffany's the same way, they would never, ever tolerate anybody picking on those kids, ever. And I think, you know, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying that is exactly what I did.
There is something to be said for that, actually, Kim, because putting kids in a situation where they're taught that, okay, yeah, you're different from each other, but instead of ignoring that, let's embrace the differences. Let's talk about the differences and let's work together to get through them. You know, is really no different than helping the guy in the wheelchair bag his groceries.
Exactly. And, you know, I just think that that's a very important thing. And you know, I think they're focusing on the wrong thing. The law is great, but I think that they ought to have, you know, some parenting courses or some, you know, community outreach to help these parents understand that, you know, you don't parent by osmosis, you know. You got to get out there and you've got to get your hands dirty and you've got to be a part of it.
It's
you've got to teach your kids by example.
It's interesting, Kimberly, that you mentioned parenthood, because for a lot of my life, because of what I went through, I actually was dead set against having kids because I was scared of – I felt like it would be in a very strange way – I felt that it would be horrific on my conscience to bring a child into this world knowing what I went through.
Really?
I felt guilty. I mean, this is when I was 16, 17, guilty about the possibility of putting someone through that by mere having a kid.
You're not alone in that. I thought the same thing. Why would I want my kid to go through what I went through?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, we have to wrap things up here, but I just wanted to read just the second email that I got. This one's from Andrew. I did not write it. I was the only boarding school Jewish kid in my grade school, though today I know it wasn't anti-Semitism at its core. It was the tool I was provided. I found many nights were terrifying. I wasn't getting the hey, big nose stuff or other jokes that went with it, but being tossed out of my bed at 1 a.m. by dorm mates, I would come back from my Sunday off with my grandfather to find swastikas hanging in my cubby by my bed or a cross made of toothpaste and pennies. There were verbal assaults and disrespect of my family. I finally had a major explosion and got angry enough to talk to my headmaster and even swore at him. He sat patiently and took it in stride, understanding. He told me that no one ever sees it, that he believes me but cannot act on it. A few days later in the gym before class started, the major offender decided to spout off with his usual rhetoric. He loved Bruce Lee, but this putz knew nothing of martial arts. I waited for him to pass and then jumped up and, in short, kicked him in the back of the head. He went down just as the teacher walked in. I was sent back to my dorm. You know, it works, though. You got sent back to your dorm. You got out of class. Thank you for sending your story, Andrew. And
wait a minute. Wasn't that also the premise of School Ties, the movie with Brendan Fraser? Anyway, moving on.
But guys,
sent you the plot of a movie.
Damn it. No, thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show. I think this is a really, really important one. Jimmy, where can people find you?
You can find me slowly walking away on a football field as the song Don't You Forget About Me plays mournfully in the background.
Awesome. All right.
And if people were to look for you on the internet, where would they go?
Oh, on the internet. I'm sorry. I had a John Hughes flashback there for a second.
All this high school talk.
Movies today.
I know. It was really weird. I was looking for Molly Ringwald. You can find me at sundryshack.com or deliveryshow.com or on the Twitter thing at Jimmy with an IE BJR. That's with an at sign in front of it, too.
And when can people find you, or where can people?
Everywhere. I'm omnipresent. I'm like Jesus. No, I am on girlontheright.com, and my Twitter handle is rightgirl. Plus, Kim and I do Brass Balls Radio every week.
Yes, we do. And you can also find me at Kimberly Haney on Twitter.
Awesome. And I'm Andrew Lawton. You can follow me at Twitter or at Andrew Lawton on Twitter. And you can read my brilliance at landmarkreport.com or listen to me and my co-host Ben Swenson on Strictly Right Radio. Thank you so much to our guests, to Wendy for not swearing, to Super Mega Producer Mike for putting up with us, and all of you guys for listening. We'll be back sometime in the future with another Right This Way.
This edition of Right This Way was produced by the Take That Radio Studios in Los Angeles, California. Thanks for hanging out with the Take That Gang here on the Right This Way show. All wardrobes provided by DIY Industries. All weaponry is optional. The opinions expressed on this show most definitely reflect the views of this station and its management. Join us next week when we'll probably piss somebody else off. Hey, it's what we do. This has been a production of TakeThatRadio.com. Thanks for listening.